Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to Business Matters with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be hearing about an energy efficiency grant of up to €10,000, which could make your business more energy efficient. We'll hear about how to apply and who is eligible. But first, as many of you may be aware, there has been an explosion in the number of coffee shops around the county over the past few years. Recently, a new coffee shop opened in Letterkenny with an emphasis on being pet-friendly. Indeed, many a dog has already sampled their puppuccinos. Well, two brothers are behind the new venture, which is called Brosif and is located on the Port Road in Letterkenny. Paddy and James Malloy from Glenties have converted what was previously a tattoo shop into a new cafe and have made great strides in a short space of time. Well, I began by asking Paddy how the whole idea came about.
So first of all, thank you very much again for having me on, Christopher. It's great to chat to a fellow dog lover. I suppose the idea myself, my brother, kind of always had an interest in coffee. And James was working in Optum for a number of years, and I'm a teacher by trade. And we actually own the building in question, and the previous occupant was a tattoo artist, and he had the place pretty much all ready for tattoo place, and he packed it in before Christmas. So we were thinking, what are we going to do with this place? And I kind of suggested, what about coffee? You know, there's nowhere on that street that does coffee, and it could be a bit of a runner. And then we kind of looked into it, and we just started buying machines and just buying bits and pieces, and then eventually it just kind of snowballed into what is now Brosif. James himself has a background in mixology with cocktails and that kind of crack. He loved doing it for years. And I just have a really keen interest in coffee and kind of marketing, customer service, that kind of thing as well. So we just kind of put our heads together and decided to just go for it. We just winged it for the first few months. That's pretty much how it started.
And in terms of being dog friendly, was that always going to be very much part of it?
The dog friendly thing only kind of came in as we were getting things. You know, we were trying to think, you know, how can we set ourselves apart from, you know, different coffee shops? Because obviously, the market in Letterkenny for coffee, it's pretty high. You have a lot of places doing really good quality coffee. And we thought, how can we kind of make ourselves a bit more different and a bit, you know, slightly more of a kind of a unique kind of thing? So we said, you know, the two of us love dogs. We have a dog ourselves. And we thought, you know, why not make it dog friendly? People can come in with their dogs and sit in and have a coffee and sit and chat and meet maybe little ones that have dogs too. And that's kind of how it came about. The two of us, as I said, we love dogs anyway. So we just kind of seemed a bit kind of natural to have dogs as well, as you know, because we kind of look forward to seeing the dogs more than the humans come in, to be honest with you, because the two of us we love dogs ourselves. So that's kind of how that came around.
And by the very fact that you advertise it as being dog friendly, you are automatically getting people who maybe might have struggled to find some alternative place. So there's not that many places that are actually dog friendly.
Yeah, I suppose there's one or two places that I suppose they don't mind dogs, and maybe other places that they kind of go, you know, no dogs allowed, or be just guide dogs only. But to be honest with you, we didn't really mind. You know, we're not too precious about our floors with mucky paws and all that kind of stuff. We didn't really mind. Our floor is quite small as well. So, it was just great, because I suppose there's no one really in the town that welcomes dogs in like our place. And it's great, because we've had an awful lot of customers come in, and it's not just about the dogs and people. People are bringing in the whole family too. They might be out for a walk on a Saturday morning. No more than yourself or anybody else passing and touching. Well, we'll pop in here for a coffee, because we can bring the dog in and we don't have to stress about leaving outside or leaving tied to a pole or something, or leaving at home or leaving in the car.
And I suppose in some ways it's a little bit like the smokers going out the back of the bar. They're going to talk to each other. In your scenario, people are going to come in, they're going to have dogs, and they're going to be looking at each other's dogs, and the chat gets up, and no doubt there will be people who will actually meet each other in your own cafe.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, you know, even if you're out walking a dog, the first thing that you're going to see when you see someone else with a lovely dog is, oh my God, he's lovely. How old is he? What breed is he or she? And we wanted to kind of put that together with a kind of a love for coffee as well. You know, people can talk about dogs, and they can meet other dogs and chat about them and over a cup of coffee, which is great. So that was kind of the reason kind of behind the dog friendly aspect.
Now, two heads are better than one. James and yourself, you've been a music teacher at Errigal College for the last few years, and James has quite a lot of experience in the hospitality industry. So you both brought your skill sets together, and here we are.
Absolutely. You know, the two of us are kind of two cogs in the wheel. You know, I couldn't do without him, and he probably couldn't do without me. You know, we kind of work very well with that regard. Like I mentioned before, James has experience in mixology, and he studied kind of different bits and pieces of craft over the years about making cocktails. He was involved in cocktail championships then in Dublin a couple of years ago, and he did quite well in that. And he always had an interest for customer service and for kind of, you know, he's quite meticulous with his drinks and stuff. I often, if you look at him sometimes in the shop, he'll be making a coffee and he'll just pour it down the sink, and I'm going, what's wrong with that? He goes, oh, I wasn't happy with how it turned out. So he's so meticulous with it. He's much better barista than I am. But in terms of me, what I normally do is I normally look after a lot of the kind of marketing around it, the social media, the accounts, and kind of a lot of the background stuff, and just the general kind of look and the kind of, I suppose, the how the place looks to customers as well, trying to get the name out there. But we seem to be working pretty well together. And there's, thankfully, there's been no big fallouts yet. And I know it's going into business with family is not always easy. But no, we're getting on great so far.
I suspect social media is a great way of promoting a business, particularly when you have a unique selling point. And if you just go in and Google things like, you know, pet friendly and whatever, no doubt you'll get traction from that. And then there are various sites, and there's things like the Doggy Dining Club, and all these, I'm sure, will be of help for your business.
Yeah, so the social media, it's not even a thing that it's good. It's essential for any new business, old business, whatever kind of business it is. It's just really, really important to get your mark out there and your presence, and mainly your brand out there, and appeal to a much larger audience than you would if you had a shop front just with a sign at the front. Our Google account's going really well too. You know, if you're even not from the town and you type in coffee near me, you know, it'll bring up all the places around you. And we spend a lot of time and a lot of effort kind of working out, you know, how can we promote our place to someone that may be passing that doesn't know the area, or maybe does know the area. And then we always have the dog friendly element too, so that people will are passing that they know where we are. So yeah, no, the social media and the promotion end of it, it's extremely important, and we try our very, very best to make sure it's always pumping out good, high quality content on a daily basis, just so that people kind of know we're here. And also we kind of share things about our new products and maybe products that are coming, that are up and coming and stuff, and any kind of changes to obviously business hours or any kind of specials or promotions, competitions, that kind of thing.
And I see amongst the items that you serve are puppuccinos. So elaborate on what exactly that is for those who are not familiar.
So the puppuccinos, it probably sounds a lot fancier than it is. A puppuccino is basically, we have a smaller cup and we have a tiny bit of cream with the lactose is actually taken out of the cream, just in case there's any doggos out there that really can't have cream or dairy products. I know most of them wouldn't really give it down. They would normally just wolf it down. But no, it's purely just the UHT cream in a cup, and it's free of charge for all people to come in with the dogs.
And no doubt it's going down very well.
It's going down very well. We've had pretty much empty cups, you know, with the puppuccino cups since we opened, which is great. And the great thing about the puppuccinos is, you know, as soon as we hand it out, we normally serve the dogs first. And we see the dog coming in, me and James are getting the puppuccinos ready first before we take the coffee order. So it's a great way to... And back to your question about the social media, you know, people are very, very eager to, you know, take a picture of the dog with the cup and our brand on the cup, and they're sharing our brand out to their audience. So it's kind of getting more traction with them as well. And people love doing that. People love getting involved with the brand and kind of sharing it and being part of it, which is what we love.
Now, when you say the brand, the name of the premises is Brosef, B-R-O-S-E-F. So how did that come about?
So Brosef was a name that was kind of tinkering around my head for a while. And the translation of Brosef is like a colloquial type of kind of slang term for like a male brother or pal or friend or buddy. And I wanted to have something with bro or brother or something kind of thing, because obviously we're brothers. But I wanted a name that kind of stuck out. I didn't want like a generic name with, you know, the coffee house or something that's, you know, kind of generic like that. I wanted something that was a bit more edgy and a bit different. And I remember I came across as we're Brosive, and I thought, that's kind of cool. It's a bit different. It's a bit edgy. And I said to my dad, I was wondering about this name, Brosive. And he goes, I think it's absolutely terrible. And James was kind of like, oh, I don't know. It's a bit out there. And then about a week later, Dad rang back and he said, do you know what? It's actually growing on me. It's weird and it's different. And the best thing about Brosive is that we had no problems getting brosivecoffee@gmail.com or brosivecoffee on Instagram, because there's no other places that have Brosive as their name, which is a plus for us. And it kind of helps us kind of stand out as well from different places.
So tell us a little bit about the lead-in period from the whole idea and, you know, making the decision, yes, we're going ahead with this. How long did it take until that between that decision being made and the doors actually opening?
I suppose we made a decision, like I mentioned before, the previous tenant in the unit downstairs was a tattoo artist, and he left the place in December. He packed it in. So we had an empty place, so we were thinking of renting it out for a while, and there was a couple of bites here and there, but nothing really, you know, substantial. And then I kind of thought of the idea in and around, it might have been the end of January, beginning of February. We kind of had a bit of a family out one day, and I was kind of saying, what are we getting this? And immediately I was Googling stuff, and James was Googling stuff and looking up stuff, and I was ringing people and getting advice from different bits and pieces. But one of the first people I actually went to was Kyle up in Brewlab. Kyle's been a wealth of knowledge. He's been very, very good to us just in terms of, you know, what kind of machinery to get, what kind of coffee to get, what to, you know, just the do's and don'ts, because we've had little to no experience in making coffee at all. And the more and more we kind of have gone down the line of buying things and getting stuff and kind of getting ready, I had no idea there was that much to it, to be honest. There's an awful lot more to running a coffee shop than I ever anticipated. But I suppose we started kind of, I suppose the middle of February was when we started gathering together our bits and then figuring out what we're going to call the place, the color scheme, furniture, the size of the place. And then we had to pick our coffee, which was another task that we didn't know anything about either. There's tons and tons of lovely roasters in Ireland doing some really, really interesting stuff. And we picked our coffee. And then we just started getting people in, tradesmen, to do our plumbing and our electrics and painting and decorating. And then we had to get trained up. We had to get people from the roastery in Clare, as well as Kyle up in Brewlab. I'm going to give him a shout out here and a plug up here. He gave us a great hand getting set up too. So we opened our doors at the very beginning of June. So the reason why there was such a long time was I was teaching from, I suppose, 9 to 4 every day and trying to get down and do a bit of work in the evening and then go back up and teach the next day and stuff like that there. And James was kind of working as well in the background. So it did take a few months to get things off the ground. But we finally opened our doors at the beginning of June.
I'm speaking with Paddy Malloy, who, along with his brother James, have opened Brosef, Letterkenny's new espresso bar, and it's pet-friendly. You mentioned there, Paddy, the coffee. Now, if you go back 20, 30 years ago in Ireland, you went into a pub, you might have got a bit of instant Nescafe and a kettle, and it wouldn't have been too much to it. But Ireland, well, we've become a bit of a nation of coffee connoisseurs, so the coffee has to be right if you're going to survive, because people pretty much soon know whether it's a good coffee or not so good. You use a single origin Colombian bean. So tell us a little bit more about how the whole process was that you actually narrowed it down to what type of coffee you would be serving.
Yeah, so absolutely. So you're dead right. And particularly in Ireland now, Ireland have kind of adopted the model that Dublin had a couple of years ago with really high quality specialty coffee. And I suppose they would have modelled it off of the specialty coffee that was out in Australia. Australia are kind of the, I suppose, the pioneers really of really, really good high quality coffee with high quality beans, single origin beans. So our beans they're a Colombian single origin, and they're hand roasted in the Burren in County Clare by a company called Anum Coffee. Shout out to Brian, or if he's listening. And like I said, we had loads and loads of different options of coffee. We had loads of guys come up to us, some really, really interesting, lovely stuff. But we ended up going with Anum purely based on that Anum weren't supplying anybody else in Letterkenny, which was an automatic plus for us, because we wanted to be different, you know, mildly different, but we just wanted to have something that wasn't really available anywhere else, so that if you liked our coffee, you have to come back and get it with us. But I went down, I actually was at a wedding in Clare, and I thought, you know what, I'm in Clare, I might as well just go out to the roastery and have a chat with these guys. And I just got this lovely warm reception. They had me within 10 minutes, I was sold. They had a really, really small roastery at the back of their house, and they're just doing some really good things. They knew their stuff with coffee. They've visited the farm in Colombia, so it's not just a case of buying the beans from just a complete stranger. You know, they've been to the farms, they know the farmers. He was showing me different galleries of photos of them picking the exact beans they wanted, and I was just sold. The coffee was obviously delicious as well. And then when I took the sample back up to Donegal and poured us a few coffee, James was just like, this is the nicest coffee ever. It is kind of on the pricey side. It's a little bit more expensive than we had anticipated. But do you know what? When people are coming in the door and leaving with happy faces and telling us that the coffee's nice, you know, we wouldn't have it any other way. So we're just delighted that we're able to have the coffee, and that we have the whole town to ourselves, basically, in terms of having Annam. And it's just great having that high quality coffee to be putting out on a regular basis.
Well, it's a big and a brave step to open your own business. Would anything stand out as to, you know, what was the biggest thing that you've learnt, or what was really unexpected over the past couple of months?
I suppose I probably mentioned before, the thing that I thought was most unexpected was just how much goes into making a really good cup of coffee. Like you mentioned there, Ireland, about being, you know, a country full of connoisseurs, and you're absolutely right. Like, you know, a lot of people now are coming into the shop and they're saying, you know, give me a flat white or give me a 6 cents. They're quite, you know, particular about what kind of coffee they want. You know, if they want their oat milk, or if they want their double shot, single shot, if they want, you know, XYZ, we kind of make whatever coffee people like. But there's an awful lot to it. It gets very, I'm not going to get too scientific, but it gets very, 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 the coffee bean itself is a very delicate product. And the more and more I work with it, I realize that the change in temperature of the room can affect the bean, and it can affect the grind, and it can affect the machine. You can make one cup of coffee at 1 o'clock and make the exact same cup of coffee with the exact same parameters at a quarter past one, and they can taste different. And it's nothing that you're doing or the machine's doing. The beans just change. And that was the biggest thing that I thought was just, it was a bit of a learning curve. But I suppose once you kind of get used to it and just realize that, you know, that's coffee and that's how coffee behaves or doesn't behave, whatever way you want to look at it. Yeah, I suppose learning about coffee and learning how it kind of ebbs and flows, and learning how to try and, I suppose, keep it within the kind of parameters that you like. And if it's outside the parameters, we're throwing it down the drain. We're not going to serve it. And that was the biggest thing.
So consistency really is key. And aside from the coffee, Paddy, as a revenue earner, you know, the whatever you're serving, be it cakes, buns, donuts, I take it you had a big say in being careful as to where you were bringing them in from as well, because obviously they're part of the package.
Absolutely. I see. So looking at coffee and what people expect to buy with a cup of coffee. You know, we have different bits and pieces there. We had obviously crisps and chocolate bars and bits and pieces, but we did want to have really good quality, high quality baked products, croissants, almond croissants, pan chocolates, all that kind of stuff. And thankfully, Adrian, I'm going to give Adrian the plug here, Adrian over at Blistered Bread, he came into us with a sample one day, and again, we're just like, this is fantastic. So he's been supplying us since day one with his baked goods. It's just high, lovely, lovely stuff, really good quality stuff. And the best thing about Adrian is people come in and say, oh, where do you get your croissants, or where do you get your cinnamon swirls? And we say, oh, we get them from Blistered Bread. And people just go, oh, that's your man. And they just know that even before they taste it, they know that it's going to be good. And Adrian's literally, I think he's about 400 meters away from us. So he's probably the closest, I'd say we're his closest customer, which is great. And then in terms of other stuff, we do donuts as well. So we do business with a company called Foodie Campers in Remelton, and they dropped in a sample of donuts to us one day, and we just fell in love with them. They were absolutely delicious, and we are getting the donuts from them, and we've had great feedback on them. I remember the first day she dropped in a sample of like 5 or 6 donuts. We thought, you know what, we'll eat one or two and we'll try and keep one for later on, and the donuts didn't last an hour and we had to weigh them all out. So yeah, shout out to Donna and Foodie Campers as well.
When you were starting off, I suppose, setting the opening hours, was that a little bit of guesswork, you know, to open no point opening too early or too late, and then what time do you close in the afternoon? So how did you arrive at the opening times?
I suppose the opening times was something we looked at, and we thought, you know, what times are people going to be wanting coffee at? So we were thinking, obviously, people going to work. We open at 8 a.m. Every morning, from Tuesday until Friday. We did open on Mondays, but for some reason, we just found, looking at our books and looking at our takings for the week, the Mondays, for some reason, just seemed to be a bit quieter. I don't know, people are working from home a lot or whatever's happening. So Monday was the quietest day. And the two of us were working 7 days a week, so we just thought, you know what, we'll just take our Monday and leave the Mondays. So we open at 8 and close at 4 on the weekdays, and then on the weekends we start at 10 and finish at 3. We kind of just threw those hours out there purely based on that's what the other coffee shops in the town seem to be operating around. And we're still looking at the hours and thinking, you know, could we take an hour away there, could we add on some hours there. Particularly we're thinking about adding on an extra hour on the Saturday and maybe an extra hour or two on the Thursday, just to accommodate, you know, late shoppers that maybe arrive the town a bit later on Thursday. But that seems to be the time that people just want their coffee between 8 and 4.
And the premise is located at 55 Port Road, Letterkenny, so it's just at the bottom of the Port Road with the Greenham Theatre just up over on the other side, literally 50 metres away. I know to you, you've had a lot of backing from Glenties, where you're from, Nave Connell backing you, I see comments online, and a certain Lawrence Malloy in Duffy's Bar in Annagree, a relative, an uncle.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, so the club, so myself and James play football. I used to play football for the club for years, and James, he's still playing football. So it was great to get a bit of backing from them, and even just sharing our content and liking and interacting with it, because they've obviously a massive following on their socials. So it was great even for someone to share it and give us a plug or a like or a follow. They all add up. Lawrence is our uncle, yeah, and you know, he gives us a great plug as well on his page. So yeah, no, it's great to get people following us and great to get people promoting us and giving us a turn.
And any particular sort of ambitions for the first year? Are there any particular targets? Will we see, if it all goes well, would you like to expand and have other outlets throughout the county?
It's funny you mention that. I actually was speaking to James today on the phone, and I was talking about, you know, geez, the place is busy, because it's really good to see the place is getting busy, and it's been consistently busy for the last 2 months. And we're already kind of thinking, you know, our place is quite small, as you know. It's when you walk in the door, you're kind of in the single room. There is some space out the back. We are thinking long term, if things are going quite well and we decide to try and expand, we might just expand inside our own premises. And there's loads of room at the back, you know, we can knock through a wall there, and we could bring our counter back and make it a bigger area, a bigger seating area, and maybe start introducing some sit-down food, you know, like kind of brunchy things, or, you know, gourmet sandwiches and stuff like that there, to make it more of a dining experience, as well as great coffee for customers, and just to make it a bit more room. And I suppose that the more room you have, the more customers you can fit in, and obviously the more revenue we can kind of generate with that. So that's our main focus, but We're quietly kind of comfortable and kind of confident now to keep our business kind of going and try and keep it consistent so people are coming back. But I suppose we have the room there to expand into if we want to do so in the next 6 to 7 months.
So a case of so far so good. What would your advice be to anybody who's thinking of starting something off? Because, you know, there are a lot of potential pitfalls out there. We hear about the high cost of doing business in Ireland, and there's a lot of hurdles, but ultimately, if you put in the hard work, hopefully it pays off.
Absolutely. I suppose, like, you know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't really be the one that kind of be giving advice. It's normally me looking for the advice. But I suppose anyone that would come to me asking, you know, what would you do or what would you not do? I suppose the first thing I would tell people is go and, like, research around, figure out what people are doing, figure out what people want. Figure out your market. That, you know, what are you selling? Who are you selling it to? Why would they buy your product over the product up the road or out there? And then just gather as much help as possible. Gather as much expertise and surround yourself with people that know what they're talking about. So that if you ever need to pick up the phone and say, "Where can I get one of these? Or are these things any good? And have you chatted to this book about this or about this?" And I was very, very surprised at how, I suppose, accommodating the rest of the coffee shops in the town have been. Like I mentioned, Kyle and Brewlab, I got into the counter as well, asking questions about their coffee and stuff, and it's great. So they have been really, really good to us in terms of offering their expertise. And there's no sort of, you know, kind of bad kind of blow between coffee companies, because we're not really competing with anybody else in our particular kind of area, I suppose, too, because we all have our kind of corners in the town. But not everyone we have approached has been really, really, really accommodating and really nice. So I suppose that's one thing, is just try and gather as much expertise from people that know what they're talking about as possible.
Well, Paddy, we wish both you and James every success going forward. And if people want to find out more about Brosif, 55 Port Road, Letterkenny, and maybe you can give us just a few details about Facebook or website, or where can we find out more?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook and we're on Instagram, and the handle is just Brosif Coffee. And as you said, we're located on the Port Road, literally just opposite the Pulse nightclub. If you walk out of the Pulse, you'll see our shop right in front of you. You can't miss it. It's a big black sign. So hopefully we'll see some of you in for a coffee and a donut shortly.
And my thanks to Paddy for taking time out to join me on this program. And just to note again, two of the people he mentioned there who have been supportive, namely Kyle O'Neill of Brewlab and Adrian Boyle of Blistered Bread, once again showing how local businesses are so supportive of one another. Well, do you run a business in Donegal? Do you want to make your business more energy efficient? That's the question that the local enterprise office in Donegal is asking local businesses. Stephen Perry is a business advisor with Leo. And Stephen, the updated energy efficiency grant certainly provides quite a considerable level of support. And maybe you can just enlighten us a little bit as to what it involves and what is actually available.
Sure, Chris, and thanks for having me on. I suppose the first thing and the key change from the initial pilot grant that was introduced a little over a year ago is that the maximum award has increased from 5,000 to 10,000 euro, and the contribution from the applicant has reduced from 50% to 25%. So essentially they can now avail of up to 75% of eligible costs to a maximum of 10,000 euro. And what I might do is just talk through the process now in terms of how you can go about this and avail of. So the first step is for a business to complete a Green for Business program or an SEAI energy audit. And once that has been completed and equipment which is deemed eligible is identified within the report, and our consultants are experts in terms of all things green, all things efficiency, so they'll be able to identify equipment within people's business that is or is not eligible. I suppose some examples of what that equipment might look like is a manufacturing business that has some part of kit in further production process that is maybe 10 years or so old, and now that there is a new, more efficient model available on the market. The report will also help them to identify options in terms of different suppliers or costings around that. Or if for a hospitality or retail business, for example, some equipment, eligible equipment, might include things like commercial ovens or refrigeration units.
So it also includes, I understand, things like upgrading to LED lighting, that could be part of a package as well, heat pumps. So there's a lot of things out there, and certainly, I mean, you can point people in the right direction. Some people may not even be aware of just what they have that could be upgraded.
Absolutely. So look, if anyone has any questions or they're not sure about eligibility, I suppose the first thing I would encourage them to do is go onto our website, localenterprise.ie/Donegal, and find out a little bit more detail about the eligibility criteria. So there are a couple of elements around that and what eligible costs are and what ineligible costs are as well, because obviously we don't want people to spend a lot of time trying to fill out an application to be deemed ineligible. But you're absolutely right, Chris, the LED lighting as part of overall measures is something that I suppose most businesses can avail of. Also things like smart energy controls and meters as well can be applicable as well for a number of different businesses. I suppose the key to this and the one thing to remember is it's about replacement equipment with something that is more energy efficient, so it's not necessarily new. I suppose one of the common questions we might ask is, look, are solar PV panels eligible, or insulation or heating systems for office space? And they wouldn't be deemed eligible because there are supports there through SEAI. So essentially, it's not a duplication of a support. It's about something that another provider, such as SEI, isn't providing. So that's probably a good way to remember it as well. But as you said, if anybody is unsure, pick up the phone, contact ourselves, go onto our website or drop us a line, and we'll be happy to assist people.
And who is eligible? Is it open to sole traders, small businesses, large businesses?
Yeah, so it is open to businesses with between 1 and 50 paid employees who aren't current eligible or aren't current clients of Enterprise Ireland or IDA Ireland. They also need to be trading for at least 12 months. And there are a couple of other criteria as well. But essentially, those are probably the key starting points. And once those, I suppose, have been met, and you're in a position to then apply for the Green for Business initially. And from that, the relevant equipment can be identified and the people can begin their application process for the energy efficiency grants.
And if there is a big uptake, will there be a maximum amount of money in the pool, or basically is there a cap on it, or would you expect that there will be enough there for everybody who applies and who is successful?
Yeah, I suppose we've had a number of inquiries already, which is great, and we've had people avail of the previous grant and people looking to top that up with the new one. What we would encourage all businesses to do is, look, if there is something there that potentially can be eligible, get in touch, get your Green for Business done and complete as soon as possible, and then get your energy efficiency grant application in on the back of that. The current closing date is the 20th of December of this year, so there is a closing date for that. Now, as things stand, once you have your Green for Business program complete, your equipment identified and get your application in, yes, you certainly are eligible until the 20th of December. But I just remind businesses to get onto that application as soon as they can.
And have you been encouraged by the uptake to date?
Yeah, absolutely. We had, in fact, some of our businesses were among the first in the country to partake in this, and I suppose we're fortunate where we've got a very wide base and receptive audience in terms of our communications, in terms of all of our various different supports and relationships there with businesses on the ground and through other Chamber of Commerce and groups. So, you know, that's helped to spread the word far and wide in terms of the initial green support and then the energy efficiency grant, which was released last year. We're also conscious and aware that, you know, we can't reach every business. So if you are hearing this and you think some other business might be eligible, get them to get in touch or make contact with us on their behalf. And as I said, we're happy to assist and provide guidance then to bring people forward.
Now, you mentioned there had been previous grants, so that the very fact that this has been updated, I take it it's more than likely going to take more people in and be of a greater attraction, and there are better benefits than the one that preceded it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the previous one, as I mentioned initially, was up to 5,000. This is up to 10,000. So essentially, it's a doubling of the amount, but also the applicant contribution. So where that was previous was 50%. Match funding, it's now the applicant contribution is only 25%, so essentially you pay a quarter of the eligible costs up to a maximum of €10,000 grant receipt. So there's certainly a lot of incentive. In addition to that, obviously you're upgrading whatever piece of equipment or kit with a more energy efficient solution, so not only are you getting the initial consultancy piece in terms of your energy usage and how you might be able to reduce that, you're then getting funding towards the replacement with an energy efficient model, and then thirdly you will ultimately benefit from reduced energy costs on the back of that. So ultimately it's about making businesses in Donegal as sustainable as possible, as efficient as possible, and helping them to reduce their costs.
So, Stephen, if people want to find out more information, they can ask for yourself, contact the local enterprise office, and there's also information on the website?
Yes, absolutely. So, website localenterprise.ie/Donegal is probably the quickest way to find it under the energy efficiency feed tab, but certainly also to get in contact with us by phone as well, 074-916-0735, and just ask about the energy efficiency grant or speak to myself as well.
Stephen Perry there, business advisor with Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters with me, Chris Ashmore. Apologies for the croaky voice. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to contact the program, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.